Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
On the other side of five consecutive nights of playoff football, from college to three nights of wild card games in the NFL, I'm a little bit pooped from the football. I was a little bit overwhelmed by what we've seen. My notes, they abound with all kinds of really interesting facts and figures and observations, but now they're all blended together after five consecutive nights. Congratulations to the Rams. What an impressive performance from them, especially the first half, and to do it on the road, essentially, in Arizona, where they play typically games against a division rival. But the way they started with what Roger Goodell called 45,000 Rams fans who made the trip. I don't know how he would know that exactly, but if they sold, they have a specific number, 45,000 tickets that they sold in LA. That's quite impressive. You're talking about a 400-mile trek, not the longest road trip ever, but with everything going on in Los Angeles right now, as many people as we know are affected or are still under potential warnings or evacuation orders without power, wondering about the winds and the they're calling another potentially dangerous situation as we head through this week. If 45,000 people made the trip from Los Angeles, that's impressive to support their Rams. I think that would debunk the myth or the idea that the Rams don't have any fans in LA or that the SoFi Stadium and the Los Angeles area is not conducive to supporting a football team. Certainly being a recent Super Bowl champion helps, and now they're one win away from the NFC Championship game yet again. Great performance by Matthew Stafford and Puka Nacua and Kyren Williams specifically, but even more impressive performance by the defense, tying an NFL playoff record, 9 sacks in this one. Sam Darnold under siege. In fact, the majority of the game, nearly three quarters of his dropbacks were accompanied by pressure from the Rams defense. And at least to the point where they had gotten the 8 sacks, I know they had the 9th with about 9.5 minutes to go in the game. The first 8 sacks were all 8 different people. So that should give you a great indication of how functional the defense and how it was all hands on deck. So hard to watch if you're a Vikings fan, if you're a Sam Darnold fan, these back-to-back games and the way they finished, but also in light of how the Packers finished and how they flamed out at the end of the regular season and then against Philadelphia, and then to see the second NFC North team go down on this Monday night, both those teams on the road. We did have one road team win this past weekend, and that was the Commanders. But every other home team, even the Rams, who were considered the home team, held serve. Kind of brings me back to this idea of the expanded playoffs and whether or not it's really good for the competition level. Because at least the last few years, it feels like fans poo-poo the wild card round and feel like the games are not competitive enough that they really need to pay attention. I've seen the word boring tossed around and uninteresting and blah, blah, blah about the wild card games. Blowouts, of course, we did have some lopsided affairs. But I promise you the NFL is not going backwards because it likes the extra money it can pull in from the extra wild card games every week. It does feel like a lot. I would agree that a wild card weekend, quote unquote, where you have 3 days and nights of games feels like a lot. And maybe those number seven teams in the AFC and the NFC don't add a whole lot to the competition level in the postseason. So if you think about it, you would have the top, if we went back, not that we're going back, but if we went back to the playoff format before, it featured seven teams from each conference. It's 3 versus 6 and 4 versus 5. And what you don't have is the Packers, right? What you don't have the Packers getting in. They would still be fighting until the end of the regular season. And so one of the arguments that the NFL gives is that you have more teams involved to the end of the regular season. And I suppose there's part of that. It's true. But the Packers still would have been involved because of just the way the regular season played out. And so you wouldn't have the Packers in from the NFC. And then in the AFC, it would have been Broncos on the outside looking in. But they had a couple of weeks in which they could have clinched a playoff spot and didn't do it until week 18. So they still would have been involved as well. Again, this is all conceptual because the NFL is not going back. But I wonder, after several years of feeling like the wild card games weren't as competitive, at least not all of them, and this particular season, we get the Commanders and Bucks that go down to the wire, but that's not the case with the other games. The Chargers had a god-awful first half against the Texans before Houston blew it open in the second half of their game. The Steelers were buried in the first half against the Ravens. That was one of the most lopsided first halves of football I've ever seen in the postseason. The Eagles were only up 10-0 against the Packers. So it wasn't as though they were running away with it, in part because of their offensive struggles, but the Packers really never got a whole lot going. Just again, Philadelphia left the door open because they themselves struggled offensively. The Bills were only up by a field goal in the first half against Denver, but the way they were playing was still dominant fashion. They had 10 minutes? 10 plus minutes or between 9 and 10 minutes extra with the football, the way they were running the ball and the offensive line really holding the Broncos at bay. Remember, Denver didn't score again after that opening drive when Bo Nix threw the long touchdown pass. So and then this game tonight, which we'll talk about here momentarily, but Commanders Bucks is really the only game that was competitive all the way through and didn't feel completely lopsided. So you can give me thumbs up or thumbs down on wild card weekend. It does involve more teams, which means more fan bases have a reason to be excited once the regular season is done and to stay engaged and to stay involved. But is it worth it if it waters down the playoff field? Just some observations now that we've got another wild card weekend in the books. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I hope that you survived your Monday. I know it's a lot to try to get back into the routine in January. Then it's a little colder, right? So it's harder to get out of the house sometimes. I know for me, sleep has been a major issue since getting back onto the routine. I think the 2 weeks away from, well, it wasn't completely 2 weeks away from the schedule, but one full week away from the schedule and then kind of on it and off it and on it and off it around New Year's has left me with a challenge for sleeping. So I'm still struggling to get back into the routine. Watch, just about the time we get through with Super Bowl, I will have settled in again. So I hope, well, you know, you're not alone if you're having issues, but I hope that you're not and that for you, you've been able to settle back in post-holidays, just as we are now inside of a week away till our next holiday in 2025. You can find me online at A-Law Radio and then our Facebook page too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you haven't yet voted for Monday MVP, you still have a few hours to go. We've got a fairly competitive race between one running back and one quarterback from Wildcard Weekend. And as we'll add this game, we'll talk about potential candidates for TD of the week because there were some doozies this weekend as we watch these games unfold. We're not that far away now from divisional weekend, which is, gosh, one of my favorite football weekends on the entire calendar every year. Really juiced up about the games coming up. So nothing on Thursday or Friday, no college on Thursday or Friday. You've got instead divisional game Saturday, Sunday, and then national championship game between Notre Dame and Ohio State coming up on Monday. So this will be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to these three games, a little more compact than a kind of a sprawling five nights in a row. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. So vote for Monday MVP. We'll get your candidates going for TD of the week, and then I'd love to hear from you about Wildcard Weekend. Thumbs up or thumbs down. Now, if you missed it, biggest news in the NFL world on Monday comes from Dallas. I am not blown away by the fact that Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones, Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys, are parting ways because it doesn't sound like it was the Cowboys' decision. So we're going to go to Dallas coming up at the top of next hour. Our friend John Machota, who covers the team for the Insider, for the Athletic as an Insider, and who covered him for years before that with the website, will get his reaction to this Monday news. But it sounds like, as you see some of the reporting coming in from various places, that the Cowboys did want to keep Mike McCarthy. And that ultimately the negotiations or the conversation, if it hadn't advanced negotiations, that they broke down over maybe terms of a new deal or the direction of the franchise. Now, I wouldn't say that the Cowboys and Deion Sanders are close to anything that they are even having concrete discussions or negotiations about the new job. It sounds like the Cowboys are interested in conducting a fairly open search. But at the same time, it makes no sense if you believe that this was always the way Jerry Jones and the Cowboys were headed. It makes no sense that Jerry wouldn't have done this before a lot of the other teams got the jump on the Cowboys when it comes to interviewing candidates. And I'm not saying that Mike Vrabel would have picked Dallas over New England. Chances are he would not have, especially because of his loyalty to the Patriots and to Bob Kraft. But how do you know if you don't ever talk to him? How do you know if you don't have the opportunity to interview some of the current hot candidates, or if you start a couple weeks late, how do you know how this might have played out differently? So that's another reason why I believe this was not the Cowboys' first choice. If they were planning to go elsewhere, or if Jerry was leaning that direction the whole time, then they likely make this move right after the season. Because now you're behind the eight ball and you've got all these other franchises with whom you're competing to hire a top candidate. What do the Cowboys need? That's another question. What do they need in their next head coach? So yes, there are multiple reports out there that Jerry Jones and Deion Sanders had a conversation. And maybe they continue to talk. This was first reported by Fox Sports. But I'm not sure that's the right fit. And I don't know that I would take it as gospel that that's where Jerry's looking. I bet they talk on a pretty regular basis, actually. And Dion has just wrapped up his second season at Colorado. They had the Heisman Trophy winner this year in Travis Hunter. And they also went to a bowl, won 9 games. So he's made some progress. But ready to be an NFL head coach? I can't imagine that Jerry makes that leap or the Cowboys make that leap. And also, the last Dion was asked about it. He said, I've got a kickstand down. I'm happy where I am. That goes back, I don't know, a couple months maybe. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll talk more about that Cowboys job straight ahead. And again, John Machota will join us in 45 minutes-ish. Mike Vrabel also introduced as the new head coach of the Patriots. And Bill Belichick, part of his last Manning, or his last Monday Night Mannings, his last Manning cast, because the season is done for them. And of course, he's got North Carolina responsibilities, but both Peyton and Eli wore hoodies to honor him. And they were gushing over him and how much fun they had working with him this season. I wonder if he'll continue on Let's Go, which is the SiriusXM NFL radio show he does. He's continued to do some other media appearances. When does he truncate those media activities? That'll be interesting. We got more reaction to Wild Card Weekend from the likes of the Ravens, Mark Andrews, and also the exit interviews for the Steelers and the Broncos following their exit. So a lot to do on this edition of the show. And if you didn't know, both the Clippers and the Lakers are back to business. No, the Lakers played tonight. And if you saw the news over the weekend, you know that J.J. Redick, and actually the Lakers and the Clippers played tonight. But if you saw over the weekend, you know that J.J. Redick and his family lost their home. He was talking about how he hadn't cried that hard in forever. Just the anguish of having two young sons and a wife and a family, and you lose your home. I can't imagine being in that situation. And so both the Lakers and the Clippers played on Monday, and both Ty Lue and J.J. Redick talking about the situation in L.A. and getting back to basketball and even how they can be a light to the community. Lakers end up losing to the Spurs. But at this point, basketball, while it's important and can be important in terms of the healing process, the outcome's not necessarily that way. With now 24 people who are confirmed dead in the LA wildfires and more who are missing, that's still paramount. Seeing these fires contained and then beginning the rebuilding process, those are, of course, the most important things. But in light of these two basketball teams playing, as well as the Rams playing in Arizona and thinking about their fans and about the people of LA and their community, their city, it can be part of the healing process because they bring light to the situation. In some cases, a reason to smile, but also the idea of people recognizing that, hey, these sports teams are playing for us. They haven't forgotten us. It matters to us, too. They're part of this community. I think all of that can factor in. So good for the Rams, the Clippers, the Lakers, even as they're dealing with the challenges there in LA. And in some cases, like with JJ, devastating results. Still, moving forward can help the people, too. The other people who are dealing and still scared, still frustrated, still trying to decide how do we take the next steps and the next steps and the next steps. So I'm interested in hearing what they have to say. And of course, sharing that with you. So we'll talk football and then we'll get to the basketball a little bit later on. 855-212-4227. Again, at A-Law Radio. You can vote for our Monday MVP as well as our Facebook page. Thumbs up or thumbs down on this wild card weekend? Ooh, if you're the Vikings, it's definitely a thumbs down. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Out to the left side. Matthew flips his hip, fires middle, alone at the goal line. His tailback, Kyren Williams. Touchdown, LA! 7 plays, 70 yards. The Rams strike first on this wild card Monday.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was an efficient start offensively by the Rams to this wild card game. Despite being displaced, they had flown to Arizona on Friday, I believe, practiced there Saturday and Sunday, and were ready to go on Monday. Sean McVay said it felt like forever that they had to wait for the game to kick off, but they were locked in right away. Matthew Stafford was perfect on that opening drive, 6 for 6, and he started out in the first half 11 for 12, 124 yards, the touchdown that he threw, and a near perfect passer rating. So despite the fact that you had 600 of the Rams players and coaches and staff members and their families, plus, according to ESPN, six dogs and two cats, that was all courtesy of Cardinals owner Michael Bidwell, who sent a couple planes to pick up the Rams. Again, the organization sending not just players and coaches, but staff members as well and their families to Arizona. Being displaced, that's tough. Wondering what's happening at home, also tough. But the way the Rams came out, it was certainly like they were a team on a mission. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It wasn't just the offense. In fact, after a while, the offense was overshadowed by the Rams' defensive performance.
Darnold against the rush. Blitz coming. He's hit. Ball down. Scoop. Scooped up. Firing up. Deere's got it. Jerry Burst has it. Down the right sideline with blockers. 10-5.
Touchdown.
A leap in the end zone. The defensive rookie of the year.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I've watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Scoop and score! Shotgun snap, Darnold on second down and 10. Looking left all the way, has to pull it down. He's thrown down at the 10! The Los Angeles Rams extend their postseason record as Dez'Juan Johnson has the ninth of the night.
JB Long with the calls on the Rams radio network. So yes, their rookie is able to pick up a fumble and go 57 yards for what was the second Vikings turnover of that opening half. So Sam Darnold had already been sacked 5 times in that first half, and he had back-to-back drives with turnovers. He throws an interception, and then the fumble in which the Rams are able to score going the other direction. By the time they got to the early stages of the fourth quarter, they had tied the NFL record for 9 sacks in a playoff game, but that's not it. I said before, when we started the show, before we got to this segment, that Darnold was under pressure nearly 3/4 of the time he dropped back in this game. So in addition to the 9 sacks, he was hit another dozen times. So he was under siege. What happened to that Vikings offensive line? It was hailed as one of the best in the NFL for a good portion of the season. And it just did not hold up under a young Rams defense. I kept thinking, wait a minute, is Aaron Darnold unretired and I'm just missing something? So yeah, really impressive to see what these guys were able to do defensively and the extra energy and juice that they brought to this playoff game. Now, a lot of the experience is on the offensive side of the ball when it comes to guys who have been in the playoffs before. Now, not Puka Nacua. This was his playoff debut, which is cool. And he had a real nice performance right away. Matthew Stafford was looking for him. He ended up with 5 catches and 44 yards. I know Tyler Higbee was hurt, I think, second half of the game, but he also had 5 catches. Cooper Kupp only had 1, but it was a really dramatic catch that went for 29 yards. So Matthew able to spread the ball around. Kyren Williams was instrumental in this one, too. But the defense really shone against the Minnesota Vikings and against Sam Darnold. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Excuse me. I don't know what that was. I'm not sure if you all saw the Rams locker room video, but it was really neat. Most of them were wearing either LA Fire Department shirts or LAFD hats in the locker room. And as Sean McVay is congratulating them and rallying the troops, so to speak, he is sure to mention multiple times the community and the people for whom they're playing that are left back in Los Angeles. And that was definitely a theme about as they were playing, right, and what they were thinking about and about the people that they hope were encouraged by the victory.
It's been a difficult week, so just proud of this group and happy that we could come out and play the way we did tonight. Give the people back home something to cheer about for a little bit.
Once we got here, I think that offered, you know, just a chance to kind of exhale. Now let's lock in. Let's all be in the same place. Let's have 2 really good days of preparation, and then let's peak at the right time. And our guys certainly did that. It seems like we've been here for a while. It seems like we were waiting on this game for a long time, and this Philly game will come really quickly.
It's interesting to hear, this is post game. I was listening to Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner on Westwood One and how they were talking about a major shift for the Rams earlier in the season. And at the time it was reported, but in light of the fact that the Rams ended up winning the NFC South and now are a game away from the NFC Championship, I thought it was important to bring back, and I was grateful that they highlighted it. They were thinking back, or they were recalling hearing from Sean McVay after the Rams had started out 1-4. You may remember they were in the basement of the NFC West and they had started out 1-4. And Sean McVay, along with the players, they had this big meeting. And McVay ultimately decided he needed to be more involved with his players. I mean, think about the head coach and his responsibilities and the fact that he's already won a Super Bowl and he's got coaches who take care of this position group or that position group or scout or whatever else. A lot of times the head coach is about managing players, managing games, managing media, managing other responsibilities. Well, he decided he would become more involved with his players. And Kevin and Kurt were recalling how he told them, hey, even nearly a decade into coaching, even after winning a Super Bowl and making, 6 playoff appearances in the last 8 years, I feel like I'm still learning as a head coach. And so he became more visible with his players. He became more involved, seeking conversations with them, spending time with the group, whether it's a player's charity event or a group get together by one position, he decided he would be more visible and he would be more personally involved with his team this year. And boy, did it pay off, because after that 1-4 start, they won 4 of their next 5. And then they finished up with 5 consecutive wins until that game against the Seahawks, in which many of the first string Rams were not playing. They were taking off week 18. So the idea that they're not just playing for themselves in this one, that was apparent and that was mentioned post game, but also the changes that Sean McVay made in trying to ensure that he did what his players needed. I thought that was really impressive as well. And I appreciated Kurt and Kevin for talking about it on Westwood One. So what about playing in State Farm Stadium, which is generally a place where they're trying to get wins against a divisional opponent?
It was good. You know, it felt totally different than the last time. I mean, obviously we were, you know, the home team today. We felt that from the people that came from Los Angeles, local, whoever, you know, and wherever they came from. We appreciated it big time. That support was really awesome. And, you know, great to just come out here and play aggressive, play fast, physical, and get the win.
Matthew was outstanding from the jump. We put the ball in his hands. Thought he really did a great job of orchestrating 2 scoring drives right from the jump. And then really defensively, you can't say enough about them. You know, getting 9 sacks, getting the defensive touchdown for Verse. I thought Ethan Evans was outstanding again. Really proud of him.
Yeah, a lot of great defensive moments for the Rams in this game, which is pretty incredible because they're so young. Reminds me a little bit of the Bills in that they might be ahead of schedule or ahead of the schedule that people set for them coming into this season, just because they lost so many of their veterans. And here's Sean McDermott, who's got them not just ready to play, but has got them succeeding above and beyond what people expected of them. So now we've got the schedule all set for this upcoming weekend. We told you on Sunday night into Monday morning that it's the ones and the twos. The ones hosting games on Saturday, the 2 seeds hosting games on Sunday. And so looking ahead in terms of start times, they're a little bit different for Sunday specifically, but same for Saturday. Oh, there's the Texans once again in that same early window on Saturday. It's 3:30 Central time. So 3:30 KC and Houston time as the Texans and the Chiefs do battle. That's followed by Commanders and Lions at Ford Field under the lights, 8 o'clock Eastern. And then on Sunday, so the Rams now have to travel cross country. They get to Philadelphia to play what is a 3 o'clock Eastern time kick. And that's followed by a Bills team hosting the Ravens. And that one, gosh, I could salivate over that one, though obviously the Ravens had their way with Buffalo earlier in the season, but these teams are different now. That's a 6:30 start time in Orchard Park. The couple of things that jumped out at me, you know that the AFC Final Four is exactly the same as it was a year ago. Now, the seeds are different, but it's the same 4 teams. But when you're looking at what we've got in the NFC, to have the Rams back into the Final Four, so they didn't win their playoff game a year ago when they were a wild card. We didn't have the Commanders there either. And the Philadelphia Eagles were not in the playoffs last year either, right? Because they had swooned and kind of fell off that cliff. So this year in the NFC, Marco Belletti's here in studio, along with the Lions, who made it to the championship a year ago and lost to San Francisco, we've got 3 new teams that make it to the divisional round. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, you don't get a whole, you get a lot of turnover, whatever it is, half of the teams or whatever in the playoffs.
Yeah, but 7 of the 14.
But you wind up usually with the same usual suspects when you get a little bit further on, but yeah, we'll see what it is. I mean, the Eagles getting, just bounced by the Bucks last year. Just a mess the way they ended their season. So, yeah, now they're sitting pretty at the 2 seed and welcome in a Rams team that's red hot.
Thumbs up or thumbs down on the playoffs? That's what we're asking you. And I actually say wild card. Because I still, after looking at the games, I'm still of the opinion that they're expanded too much. Because the 3-6 matchups might be a little more competitive. We had a couple of games that were close-ish at halftime, but didn't feel that way if you were watching on TV. So Commanders and Bucks, which is, that was 3-6 matchup. Mm-hmm. That's essentially the best game that we got of the weekend. A lot of the others were real little lopsided. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. Coming up at the top of the hour, John Machota of the Dallas Cowboys beat. He'll join us from The Athletic, and we'll get the latest on why Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys ultimately decided to go their separate ways. And a lot more from L.A. as well. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
And we're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Final playoff game of the weekend, completely one-sided.
First and 10 from the 13-yard line. Stafford, cool as can be, takes the snap. Looking left, comes off that read. Sidearm throw to the 9, to the 5, to the end zone! Touchdown, David Allen! Touchdown, L.A.!
209 yards, two scores for Matthew Stafford. Rams ripped the Vikings 27-9. Call courtesy of the Rams Radio Network. Kyren Williams, 76 yards rushing along with a touchdown reception, while the Ram defense sacked Sam Darnold 9 times, including a Jared Verse 57-yard scoop and score. Darnold just 245 in the air, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Rams advancing. They'll see the Eagles next Sunday. For the 9th time since he bought the Cowboys in 1989, Jerry Jones will be hiring a new head coach and might just be a familiar face. Reports say Jones has spoken with Deion Sanders about the job. Discussions expected to continue. This after Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys parted ways after 5 seasons and 3 playoff appearances. McCarthy went 49-35 over the span. 1 playoff victory, though. Bears and Saints reportedly interested in McCarthy. We'll see where the Cowboys turn and see if they go to prime. Patriots announced Mike Vrabel as the new head coach. Vrabel won 3 Super Bowls during his playing days in New England. Talked about how important it was for him to get his coaching chops outside of Foxborough.
The opportunity at one point was probably presented itself to be here coaching, but I felt like it was important to forge my own path somewhere else. And if all those experiences led me back here at the right time and the right opportunity, then that was going to be what was meant to be.
NBA, Spurs too much for the Lakers, 126-102. Victor Wembanyama, 23 points, 8 rebounds. T-Wolves roll the Wizards, 120-106, courtesy of 41 from Anthony Edwards. Pistons surprise the Knicks, 124-119. Clippers erase the Heat, 109-98. Rockets upend the Grizzlies, 120-118. And the Raptors top the Warriors, 104-101. And baseball getting closer to decision for Japanese pitcher Roki Sasaki. Down to 3 finalists, Dodgers, Padres, and Blue Jays. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227. With Amy Lawrence.
What a moment for Jared Verse and the Rams defense with what Roger Goodell called 45,000 strong who made the trip from L.A. That defensive TD in the first half wasn't the final nail in the coffin by any means, but talk about demoralizing. Second consecutive drive with a turnover by the Minnesota Vikings, and the Rams were able to tack on another touchdown, a pass from Matthew Stafford to Davis Allen with 15 seconds left in the first half. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Verse ended up catapulting in a somersault into the end zone. I thought, oh no, don't drop the ball, but he didn't. However, there was no real coordinated touchdown celebration after that. What was the plan?
Oh, no, I told him 1,000 times. I said, if I ever get a touchdown, I'm going to tweak out. But I was too tired. I was too far away. I was expected to be on, like, the goal line, so I was going to dunk on the field goal post, but I was too tired. I just had to jump in.
That was just one of the great defensive plays against Sam Darnold and this Vikings offensive line. Really, the dominance there from the Rams, a little bit surprising considering how successful that O-line had been for Minnesota this season. Sam Darnold, back-to-back tough games with multiple turnovers. To hear him talk about it versus Kevin O'Connell, you know, O'Connell pointing to the protection in front of him, but Darnold taking responsibility.
I'm 100% responsible for the football and what happens to it. And for me, it's up to me to be able to feel that and either step up, move, go run for a first down, or just simply throw it away. You know, I felt like, there were a lot of sacks today that I was responsible for.
Very important. We all think about, Sam's body of work, what he was able to do this year, when not very many people thought he would be able to lead a team to 14 wins. Very rare for a quarterback in their first year. In fact, it is rare, the most wins by a first-year quarterback.
While I appreciate that from Kevin O'Connell, I don't know that this has done anything to encourage the Vikings to keep Sam around. So what happens next with Sam Darnold? That may be one of the questions of the offseason. He certainly has earned some traction and some credibility in the NFL, but in his first playoff start, it's more of a continuation of what happened last week. Interesting, too, to think about the Vikings and their losses this season. So Washington gets this matchup with Detroit instead of the Vikings. We don't get that rematch. As for the Vikings, they can go back and look at their schedule, and there's two teams that jump out. They lost twice to the Rams and twice to the Lions. That's it. They beat everyone else. Crazy, right? And the Rams look like world beaters against Minnesota. 888. Oh, I don't know where I got that from. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Online at A-Law Radio, you can vote for our Monday MVP. And then our Facebook page. Actually, as I'm thinking about 800 numbers, you guys, wait until you hear what happened. I am pretty sure that someone used my credit card to charge something, which I'm going to have to get it taken away. But the way they did it through an app, oh, goodness. This is something that I think people have to be careful of. And I guess we weren't careful enough. So I'll have to tell you that story a little bit later on. Let's go to our phones here. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Mark, who's in Arizona. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Well, it's good to talk to you. Working late at night, I don't get to listen to you very much, but I like your content and appreciate your opinion.
Thank you.
So, in talking about, you know, with what the Rams are faced with, you know, the horrific tragedy, I just harken back to the 01 World Series, when I would imagine you were just a wee lass.
Oh, no. I remember 01 for sure. I was early in my career, but I remember it.
Well, just being a true Arizona fan and having the solemn hatred for anything New York or Los Angeles, you know, it's just, you know, I mean, the Rams own State Farm Stadium, which is embarrassing to say. But, you know, Michael Bidwell is a very upstanding citizen, what he did to bring them in and, show the respect and responsibility of an NFL owner, I think is nothing short of awesome.
Agreed. It's great compassion by Bidwell to share his planes, to make sure that not only the team and the coaching staff made it to the desert without any trouble, but that they were able to bring their families and staff members and even pets.
Great kudos out to him. And I'm sure Roger Goodell appreciated it.
Mm-hmm.
you know, going back to the, you know, the series, you know, I think it was probably the most emotional championship series of all time, of what I've ever, you know, witnessed. You know, I was born in 1963, so I've seen a couple things. But I did have the opportunity to go to Game 6. And after the gut-wrenching losses in New York, Byung-Hyun Kim was just a warrior. And, you know, he did everything, laid everything out there. And the Yankees, you know, the Yankees were, should have been the winners. But, you know, somehow it just didn't work out that way, which was, you know, I mean, with what was going on then after that tragedy, you know, it's very similar to what's going on. And it just takes me back to, you know, 25 years ago.
We're about to hit the top of the hour, but I appreciate you bringing that back up. And especially your emotional memories of it. Obviously, going to a Game 7, the way that the Diamondbacks defeated a Yankees team that was heavily favored, it meant so much to that region. Gosh, what I remember is the co-MVPs and the pitching, the Curt Schilling and the Randy Johnson, obviously, the game-winning hit that was such a stunner. But I appreciate that, Mark. Thanks so much for weighing in from the desert. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.